Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. It's good to gather with you, good to worship with you, good to take communion with you. It's just good to be here. And so if I don't know you, my name is Caleb. I'm the pastor here, and always a privilege to be able to open God's word together. So we're going to be in Psalm 62 this morning. So if you have a Bible, a device, something to read along, follow along, I always encourage you to do that. If you're a note taker, that's great. I'll try to talk slower so you can take better notes. It's good to be able to do that. Before we jump into Psalm 62, I do want to give you one more, quick announcement. I always like kind of pointing out some different things. But June 11th, if you are a young adult, 18 to 28, we are starting a young adult group here in Holly. And so I'd love to personally invite you out to that. Pastor Ryan will be leading the group. And so we'd love to have you come out to that. It's a good opportunity for you to get to know other young adults and be able to have some fun, learn the Bible, and just have a community that you're able to encourage one another. And so I just want to personally invite you out to that. If you have questions, let me know, or we can make sure you get connected to what and how are different things that are happening going on. So you're 18 to 28, you're in that range, helping build a community. If you're a young man, you're looking for someone to marry, this is a perfect opportunity for you to come. All right. It's worth it, right? I guess. It's a try. And so, no, it's good. That's Thursday, June 11th. So let's jump into Psalm 62 this morning. Psalm 62 reads, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from the Lord. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. O God, rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work." Let's pray and we'll look at that passage this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for just being living and active in and through it. God, may you teach, may you guide, may you convict our hearts. God, we seek to ultimately glorify you. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I'm not sure with summer coming up and summer plans and different things happening, if you've got fun plans, but I know one of our Michiganders' summer plans is Cedar Point. I don't know if you're a Cedar Point person. I am not a Cedar Point person, but maybe for different reasons than you think. I actually love to go eat parked food. I don't know about you. Go spend $50 on a piece of chicken is always exciting to get to do. No, this is great. But the reason I dislike Cedar Point or amusement parks is the rides are fun, but I don't want to wait for the ride. These ride times, if you've seen these ride times, are like 2 hours. Like, this is 120 minutes. This is what I'm telling like my kids. I'm like, you want to stand in line for 120 minutes to go on a ride for 87 seconds. That's what we're talking about here, right? And so I don't know, maybe you're a Cedar Point person. I'm bashing it, and I'm sorry. But this is the truth, so come to it. And so like even going to Disney and different things, you're like, oh, this is great. These are fun. Like, yeah, but you're waiting in line, waiting. I am terribly impatient. I hate waiting for things. Like if there's a wait time at a restaurant, we'll just go to a different restaurant. It's all good. There's other options. And so this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 62, where we're taught to wait, not for a Cedar Point ride, not for a restaurant, not for someone that is notoriously late. We are told to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. If we're all honest this morning, and hopefully we can be for the next few minutes, waiting on the Lord is difficult. I would say for me, waiting on the Lord is easy to preach, easy to even discuss, but when the rubber meets the road, or when we actually practically don't hear from God in a prayer request, or God, I came to you, I relied on you, and I just am not hearing from you. Where are you, God? I think many of us probably have said that, cried that, stated that, even yelled that at times. God, I don't understand where you're at. I've trusted you. I've relied on you. You said you are faithful. God, why aren't you faithful? When in the truth of the matter is, God is faithful. But that wait time of, hey, God, I prayed this prayer. I cried out to you like I was supposed to, in that gap of one day, one week, one month, 10 years, 25 years. You find yourself in that waiting pattern of, God, where are you? And as a Christian, as someone that seeks to follow God, I'd say for many of us, it's easy to tell someone else to wait on the Lord. But when it comes to our issue, I can handle it. I'll just handle it on my own. In those moments, I tend to ask God, and maybe you don't do this, but I do. I tend to ask God, how long is this struggle going to be? And I don't get usual answers, by the way. But I'm always, all right, God, how long? Because like, if I can see the end line, or I can like pace myself. But the truth of the matter is, relying and being patient on God is a spiritual discipline that we as Christians must live out. And so in Psalm 62, David gives some key characteristics, some methods for us to really, truly live out waiting on God, being patient with God. As I mentioned, David is the author of this psalm. We're unsure when in his life that he wrote this, but we know David had lots of ups and downs, topsy-turvy issues and situations. So we're not sure exactly when, but we can probably pinpoint 3 or 4 opportunities or options that he would do this. But Psalm 62 is about waiting on God. David had to check the impatience in his heart. It's a beautiful song of faithfulness, not only from God, but of David as well. And David quiets his heart by remembering what he knows about God and who God is. What a great truth for us, right? As our heart begins to rage and we feel inflamed and building up, it's easy to go, wow, this conclusion, while we should probably sit back in silence and say, God, I'm sitting and waiting on you. The psalm is broken into three sections, verses 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and 9 through 12. Verses 1 through 4, David gives us this idea that we're to meditate and wait patiently on God. Verses 5 through 8 are an exhortation or an encouragement, not only for himself, but for you and I to trust and to wait. In verses 9 through 12, David compares and contrasts, builds a nice big Venn diagram for, all right, God and the things of this world. What can I rely on? And so he compares God's power, God's faithfulness, contrasting with the things of this world, specifically with others or human beings and with money. And he specifically speaks to those areas. But in these three stanzas, if you will, he breaks them down. And if you have a Bible, it will say the word Selah. It'll say Selah. Meaning, Selah is to pause, reflect, or lift up. I read one commentator this week. He said, stop and consider the magnitude of the statement just made. Stop and examine. Think about that. And so maybe as you read through Psalm 62 this week, or you read through it another time, and we may even mix that in here this morning, but a pause to really examine the magnitude of that statement. Wow. God is faithful. We can trust in his word. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Letting those words pour over your soul, not only just hit your ears, but enter your heart and enter your mind and begin to transform how we perceive not only who God is, but how God operates in our life. So the first stanza, if you will, begins with, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. For God alone. This word used, the Hebrew word used here, is used six times in Psalm 62. It's used as alone, only, truly, surely, and indeed. It's used in verse 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 9. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon called Psalm 62 the only psalm. Not that there was the singular only psalm, but he identified it as the only psalm, meaning our only source, our only hope, our only future, our only value, our only God is found in Jesus Christ. The only psalm. That's what David is pointing out. And so if you're a note taker, you can put out in Psalm 62, only God. Only God. If you miss the rest of what I say this morning, you simply come to the truth of going, only God is what I can turn to. You can fill in the blank pre and post. Hey, I'm really struggling with this. I can only turn to God. I'm really battling through this. I can only turn to God. I have this happening in my life. I only can turn to God. I'm unsure of what the future is in this world. I can only turn to God. That is the major theme of Psalm 62. Succinct, clear, simple answer. Only God is who I must turn to. For God alone, as David begins, my soul waits in silence. David is pointing to a moment of silence, of there's a stirring in my life, but I am finding myself patient. A quiet faith. Strength in him. His whole being has found strength that the Lord was sufficient. His identity, his future, his strength, his hope was found in Christ. So as we read Psalm 62 this morning, and as we really truly examine Psalm 62, it's more than simply just, okay, only God, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. Okay, that sounds great, but I really wanna read this passage at the backdrop of looking at the realities of not only your life, but the realities of our lives. And we can look at the reality that David is dealing with, the ups and downs, the topsy-turvy moments of life. Now saying, okay, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. And as I go through the uncertainties of life, as I go through even that valley that Psalm 23 describes, I can find myself in the place and the truth of saying, God, I wait in silence. I'm unsure of what the results will be earthly, but I am sure that I can wait in silence, trusting that you are the author and the perfecter of my faith. You are the author and guider of who I am, and you give me hope and truth in that. That's where we look at the weight of Psalm 62, of being the only psalm, only God will I turn to. David is not hedging his faith here. He is not saying, okay, you know what, I can trust a little bit, but I'll trust in my own strength, my own might. He's not saying, okay, God, I'll trust you with my oldest kids, but my younger kids, I'm keeping them with me. Or God, I'm going to give you part of my health, but you know what, I'm going to control this. He's going, God, I trust wholeheartedly in you. I read one commentator, he said, if you don't trust God alone, you don't trust him at all. He's not hedging that. James 1, 6 through 8 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven, tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Our stability comes from the faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what the results look like to our eyes or how we feel in that moment, God, I trust you. Your timing, your will is good. It's perfect. That doesn't mean it always feels good. I don't want to get up and be the pastor and say, hey, you know what? Trust God and don't even worry about anything. It'll all be easy. No, that's hard. See, trusting God, I have to remind myself of that. I wish I could get up here and say, all right, trust in God only. You can make that decision today on this Sunday morning and you'll never deal with trust issues the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be awesome? I made that decision. I'm stamped. Done. But we have to remind ourselves of that, right? We have to remind ourselves that God is faithful, and that's what happens in the second section of verses. But being patient, waiting on God is work, it's spiritual work. He says, he's alone is my rock and my salvation. I will not be greatly shaken. See, as believers, we must come to that conclusion of saying, Christ is my cornerstone. My life, my world, my everything is built on him. This world may shake me, but he's the anchor of my soul. In this passage, verse 3, he describes himself as like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. Leaning wall, tottering fence don't seem like stable things, right? Leaning wall, you're like, when is this thing going to fall? Or that tottering fence is one without stability. David feels this way. The world can make you feel that way. The difficulties of life can make you feel that way. And people will mock you for your faith in Christ. People will mock you. Why are you trusting God? Shouldn't you just go handle this on your own? No, I'm waiting patiently. I've given this to God. I am unsure what my future holds, but I know who holds it, and it's Jesus Christ. And I find my strength and my faith in that. Yes, the world may look at me like, man, that's a tottering fence. It's teetering back and forth. Is it going to collapse? Is a wind going to finally knock that away? And I'll tell you this, people will mock you for that. You may look like you're at a breaking point. David describes himself as this. The Old Testament, Job mentions his friends as he's going through difficult moments. In essence, basically say, curse God and die. You look like a leaning fence. It's getting ready to collapse. Why are you putting faith and trust in God? But the great prophet Isaiah says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord. The restraint comes from the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. What are we taking heart in? That God is in control and God alone can I find my faith and trust. See, waiting is a part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. I read that this week and I hated it. I really did. Maybe I shouldn't say that aloud and I apologize, but I really struggle with that. I'll read it again. Really think about that. We'll add a Selah moment to this. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. See, everything in me says, you know what, God, I waited long enough, now I'm going to work on my own. I got it. I'll handle it. I'll figure it out. I'll negotiate it. I'll figure it out. But ultimately, when we come to that place of saying, God, I am waiting on you. It's in your hands. That's what true faith looks like. That's what true trust in his plan. That's what trust in God alone. What we do and what I do is I trust in God until a point that I'm now supposed to take control and figure it out. That's, I've said this very commonly in my messages. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. I love that verse because I have to remind myself of it on a constant daily basis. Because I want to figure it out. I want to manipulate it to figure out. I want to control it to be what I want it to be. Ultimately, God, I want it to be what you want it to be. And I want to get out of the way. And that's okay. In verses 5 through 8, David, as I mentioned earlier, gives some words of encouragement. He gives some words of encouragement to himself. He gives some words of encouragement to you and I as we read this. It says, for God alone, O my soul, I wait in silence. Here it is again. It's a repetitive psalm. For my hope is from him. See, verses 5 through 7 are almost identical to verses 1 through 2. But the main difference here is David is not describing how he is, but he is telling his heart what to do. He's encouraging himself. This ongoing battle. David is encouraging himself with inner self-talk. Are you one that talks to yourself? Are you the weird person walking through the grocery store talking to yourself? I am. You see me, you're like, what is this? What's this guy's problem? You know, and I'm just talking through some different things. Who are you talking to? Myself? Tell you this, you never. If I'm mowing my lawn, I'm having a full conversation with myself. Drive by, like, what is this guy? We need to get this guy some counseling. I'm in there too. Don't worry. But that self-talk, that self-encouragement, is what David is doing here in this scripture. He really is. The self-evaluation, having a conversation with himself, challenging himself to really remind himself what God and who God truly is. See, David talked to himself and told himself, what truth was. I would say for us as believers, this is an important thing. Having the ability to speak truth over our own lives. Yeah, we need to have truth speakers into our lives, someone that we allow to speak truth. But sometimes, in real true self-awareness moments, we know our weaknesses, we know our moments, and we have to remind ourselves what truth really is. Yes, I'm not going to allow my feelings, my heart, to deceive me. I'm going to lean back on what truth is, and that is, in God alone can I and must I trust. He is my hope. He is my rock. He is my refuge. He is my cornerstone. Regardless of the storms, God, I put my faith, my trust in you alone, and I'm going to get out of the way. Speaking that truth over ourselves is important. Developing that discipline, not in a weird way. I know I self kind of mocked it, but really not in a weird way. Driving down the road, have the ability to turn the radio off or turn whatever you're listening off and just sit in silence. That's what the meditation that we've been called to do in the first verse is, just sit in silence and reflect on who God is. But not just reflect, in a moment of Selah, find myself of going, God, now I lift you up. See, in a world that just seems to be running fast pace over and over and over again, I got to keep myself busy. I can now watch everything right here on my phone. I can do anything I want. It's busy. Finding that and putting it aside and saying, God, I'm sitting in silence in awe of who you are. God, this is your situation. This is what you have got. And I'm going to sit and, excuse me, shut up. And in that moment of meditation, allow God to speak truth over our life through his Holy Spirit. But then allow ourselves to go, you know what? I'm going to speak truth over the things that I struggle with. And having the ability that God alone, reminding yourself constantly. Maybe you're a sticky note person. I used this a couple weeks ago. Maybe you need to write sticky notes, put them all over your house, your car. Remind yourself, only in God alone. Trust in God alone. Trust in God alone. Those are good things. Last few verses. Those of a low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. He's speaking of people here. The balances, they go up and together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Now he's going financially. Set no vain hopes on robbery if riches increase. Set not your heart on them, saying, well, it was whether through extortion or robbery or just general way that your finances went up. Those are two areas that we love to put our trust in. We put our trust in people and we put our trust in money. God is saying to us specifically, that's not where you put your trust in. See, man will let you down. They will fail. If your trust is built in human beings, that's not a bad thing to trust people, by the way. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But if my identity, my future, my hope is built on someone other than Christ, then it's misplaced. For some reason, we have this idea in our culture that, okay, I have to find the perfect person. They'll complete me. That's not the truth. Our completion comes from Christ. I've got to get this job. I've got to get this relationship. I've got to find this friendship. I have to do this or I have to do that. No, that only comes from the identity of relying wholeheartedly in Christ alone. Do I place my trust? Maybe it's in money. Money is not reliable. Gas has gone up, what, $5 this in the last couple weeks, right? Look at this. If you have retirement stock market, man, that'll cause anxieties. You can look at that and go, wow, if I'm going to ride that wave of uncertainty and that's what I put my faith and my trust in, I'm going to tell you this, that's going to be a slip and slide you don't want to be on. because ultimately it'll bring destruction. And David is speaking specifically to them. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So they're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of which is truly life. There's the completion. That's what we have been called to rely on, not in the things of this world, as Jesus says in Matthew, that moth and rust will destroy, but on eternal things. I love this quote. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endures the blessing when it comes. This morning, waiting on God is easy to preach at 11:30 on a Sunday morning, right? Come on, right? Let's get honest. Yes. But when this week, when the realities of the world hit us, the realities of the struggle or circumstances we have going on in our lives, that waiting on God is, it almost feels impossible. It really does. This morning, maybe you're waiting on God. You're dealing with some sort of health thing going on in your life. You've got a diagnosis. You're waiting on God to intervene. You're waiting on God to step in. It may have been last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago. You've been waiting on God. You feel like the Apostle Paul begging God, take this away from me. And you're just waiting. It feels overwhelming to wait. Maybe you're here struggling with an addiction, waiting for God to pull you out of it. God, I'm really battling through this. Feels like it's crushing me. God, intervene, remove me from this. I'm just waiting on you, God. Maybe you're struggling with depression or anxiety, waiting on God to remove that. You've prayed over and over and over and over again. Maybe you're single, waiting for God to bring that perfect person to you, and you're waiting. God, I don't understand. Maybe you're in a dysfunctional marriage. You're waiting on God to do a miracle in your relationship. You've been begging God. That waiting, it just feels like it's a never-ending wait. And you almost feel like God is silent. Do you find yourself asking, God, how long? How long until you're going to intervene? How long? Maybe you're like me and you ask that question. But verse 8 in this passage almost summarizes the entirety of the chapter of the psalm, but almost gives us even more of a look of, all right, what do I do in that moment? Maybe I found myself in that waiting on God and I just am ready to give up. I'm going to tell you this, verse 8 will give you some strength, I believe. I'm going to read verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So if you're a highlighter, an underliner, or someone, this is it right here. This is right. Hey, I feel like I'm ready to abandon it. I'm ready to give up. I'm done with this marriage. I'm done with this friendship. I'm done with this trying to follow God. I've waited long enough. I'm gonna. Hey, don't bail. Let's stay with me for just the next couple minutes. What do I do? Caleb, you're saying this, what do I do? First is trust in him. You're like, man, you said that already. I know. Trust in him. Maybe you need reminded. I know I do. Trust in him. Rely on him. In God alone. He said, Caleb, how long do I have to do this? Well, what's the verse say? Trust in him at all times. All times. Every area, every aspect, every up, every down, everything I see or don't see. God, I trust you at all times. Who's he talking to here? Oh, people. He's writing to children of Israel, but he's writing to you and I. Oh, people, it's us. How do we do it? Glad you asked. What I love about David and really the Psalms as a whole, trust in him at all times, oh people, pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. I love the authenticity of this passage. It could preach an entirety of a message in this. Pouring out your heart before God. God is big enough to handle what's going on in your heart. God is not a God that says, oh my goodness, I can't believe Caleb is thinking about that in his heart. That caught me way off guard. No, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows the struggles. He knows the battles. He knows the turmoil. He knows that we were just about ready to give up. We feel like a teetering fence. God knows. He knows what's going on in your heart. Pour out your heart. What's that look like? May need a place where you just sit on your couch and cry out to God in tears. Maybe you go for a walk and you got to yell out to God. Maybe you're driving down the road. Maybe you've got to do it here this morning where you pour out your light. God, I want to pour out what's going on in my life. I can't carry it anymore. I want to cast it on you. I'm done trying to navigate this, God, and God alone will I trust. Pour out your heart. See, waiting on God does not only mean you got to be stoic, pretending nothing is wrong. Pour out your heart to God. God can handle that struggle. And what's he saying in verse 8? For God is a refuge for us. That refuge is a place of protection from the storms, the struggles, the battle. Find refuge in God. So I'm going to do something odd this morning, okay? I'm going to read Psalm 8, and I'm going to add Psalm 62, 8, and I'm going to add a Selah. But I'm not going to wait long. I'm not going to make you sit here and for minutes and hours in silence, okay? Some of you are worried about it. I can see it in your face. But give it about 10, 15 seconds to really let Psalm 62:8, that's what Selah means, right? We started that this morning. Pause, reflect, or lift up. Let's stop and consider the magnitude of who God is and the statement just made. Let's let that pour over our lives. Psalm 62:8. Piano's going to play, and we're just going to sit here and let it after we read it, just for a few seconds. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God God, we come to you this morning. We praise you, we love you, we glorify you. God, you're good. May we be reminded that we can wait patiently on you. You are trustworthy, you are faithful. God, I speak that not over someone else's life, but over my own. Not over my own, not someone else's struggles, but my own. God, I know I need reminded of that on a daily, moment by moment basis. God, we can wait on you because you are our refuge and our strength. God, this morning, if someone is really just feels like they're ready to abandon, God, may they be able to pour out their heart to you. Do it in their seat, on the drive home. Laying in their bed at home tonight, I don't know, just finding a moment of real true meditation, of focusing their heart to you, God. That's my prayer for them. God, thank you for Psalm 62. Thank you for the practical application. How pertinent it is to my own life, how pertinent it is to all of our lives. That finding our trust in you, God, is sitting in silence, regardless of the storm raging around us, God. God, we praise you. We love you. We trust you here this morning. We honor you for your good. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.